Was your first name?
Benyamin.
Rabbi Benyamin Singer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Good morning. Good morning. Mishana Mokka, Mishana Mazel. A different venue. In a way, it's nicer, perhaps, because the big hall with the smaller oilam is less ruach. So it's nicer to be closer. The Mishnah says in Megillah, HaKoresha Megillah Mafreya Lo Yotso. Right? The Poshup Shat being that if you read the Megillah in the wrong order, or any Pasuk in the wrong order, you're not Yotzi. The reason is because it says, Vayomim Ho'ilin is Korim Benasim, that just as the Makish, the Zechira to the Asiyah, just that when it actually happened, obviously it's impossible for the 14th to happen after the 15th, right? So everything's got to happen in the right order. So also the Zechira, the remembering, it's got to be done in the right order as well. So the Poshup Shat being that you've got to read the Megillah from the beginning to the end. So if you read backwards or out of order, then you're not Yotzi the Megillah. Interesting, the Baal Shem Tov had a famous perish on that. The Keres HaMegillah Mafreya, Lo Yotzi Mafreya means as ancient history. Interesting, I was speaking to an Israeli, he told me in Hebrew, in modern Ivrit, the Mafreya means in advance. But in the Torah, it doesn't mean that. In the Talmud, the Mafreya means retroactive, right? Going backwards. See, if you read the story of the Megillah and you think this is ancient history, it has no relevance to you at all, you're not Yotzi. You've got to live with the story. Right? What's the connection between those two Pirushim? If you do, it's known, it says in Sforim, that whenever you have more than one Pirush on a Pasuk or a Mishnah, the two have to be connected. They can't be totally separate. So the answer is, they've explained interesting that if you're living something from the beginning, you start and you're living it and you go right in the correct order. You're living it and you go from the beginning to the end. If on the other hand you're remembering ancient history which has no relevance to you, you're not reliving it, what's the first thing you remember? The first thing you remember will be the last thing which happened. And then you'll go backwards, trace the cause. Why was the tax increased? Because this happened. And why did that happen? Because, and you go backwards. You're not living with it. It's important to live with it. Right, living with the Megillah is very, very important, especially. Bichlal, the whole Torah is a Horah. Everything in the Torah is a Horah. But the Megillah especially, we're told you've got to live with the Megillah. I saw on Shabbos an amazing, but you probably know the story, famous Maisa with the Shpola Zeda. Somebody needed a Yeshua. Yid moved from Romania to Russia, to Kishinev, and an enemy of his accused him of having stolen money which belonged to the Romanian government. And he had the personal brokers with him, so the government in Romania sent a letter to the Russians. They want to extradite him. Please send him back to Romania with our chest of gold coins. And the fellow didn't want to go back. The Russians got very angry about it, and they said, if you want to try him, he's now resident in our country, send your people to Kishinev, which is under our control, and we'll have the trial in Russia, not in Romania. So they sent people off to there, and the fellow was desperate, so this Mendel, he goes off to the Shpola Zeda, and he asks him what to do. So the Zeda said to him, make sure the date of the trial will be on Purim, and don't bother hiring a lawyer, I'll get a lawyer for you. And so you'll recognize him because he will have a white hat and red gloves. So on the day of Purim, Kachava, that's what happened. And he recognized the lawyer, and the lawyer was amazing. At the same time, in Shpola, where the Rebbe, the Tzaddik lived, an amazing thing happened. The Shpola Zeid used to sometimes make Purim spiels. And what did he do? He would act out actual things which were taking place in the government, on the international scene, or in court cases, and they would appoint people to be judge, jury, witnesses, and so on, government ministers, and often he would take part in these Purim spiels. In this particular case, he appointed someone to be the Romanian representative. They blackened his face and they mocked him every time he came in the room. They had somebody else to be the witnesses, somebody else to be the defending counsel, and he himself, I think, was the judge. And every time the Romanian opened his mouth, they mocked him, they laughed at him, they made fun of him. And the Shpola Zeda spoke amazingly. He put a white tichel over his shtreimel, and he was wearing these red gloves as well. And he spoke amazingly. He wiped the floor with them. It's ridiculous, and you've got no case at all. You can't prove anything. And they threw the case out of court in Shpola. Telegram arrived shortly afterwards, or letter, telegram, whatever it was, telling them that he's been vindicated totally in Kishinev. And he arrived shortly afterwards with great amazement. He said, I don't know who that lawyer was that you sent me, but that lawyer, he said this and the other, and he was incredible, amazing. Everybody was eating out of his hand. And they threw the case out of court, and I was totally vindicated. Thank you so much, Rebbe. And when the Hasidim heard what the fellow was saying, they were amazed, because those were exactly the words the Rebbe was using, that defending counsel was using in Kishinev. And the Rebbe said to him, he gave money to the Rebbe before Purim to help a poor Hakmosas Kala, for Stocker before Purim. He said, in the zechus of the money you gave Stocker, you created a malach, and the malach was maybe it's your Yoshe, right? And he said, you'll be zirka to see him after maybe some Shana, you'll be doing very well. Right? I was thinking, as we're all living through the story of the Megillah, we're actually all reliving the story. That's why it's so important, because in every generation we have Haman and Ahasuerus and Esther. The story's just going on, and that's one of the Pirushim. It says, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi Mishneh. There's another Mordechai. And why is it called a second one, right? And why is it called Megillah? Because it's Goylel, it rolls around again. In every door you have Mordechais and Esthers and Ahasuerus. So as we relive the Megillah, we're actually helping defeat, we're having a pouring spirit, if you like. We're defeating the powers of evil in the world as well. So what do we learn from the concept of Purim? Not the details, but surely the concept of Purim, the name of Purim, is the most amazing thing. It's the only Yom Tov with a name which isn't Lashon HaKodesh. Even Hanukkah, which is Drabanon, has a name which is Lashon HaKodesh, a Hebrew name. Why is Purim called? I mean, you want to call it after the event of the lottery, so call it Goyrolois. That's a Hebrew word. In fact, we know it's Persian, because when the Megillah does use the word, it says Hipil Pur, Hu Hagoyro. We have to translate the Persian word into Hebrew so you can understand it. So obviously it's not a word in Lashon HaKodesh. So why choose a word which is not a word from the Lashon HaKodesh? And anyway, if you want to commemorate the Ness of Purim, does it not make more sense to take something positive which has to do with the Ness of the Hatzalah? Kodesh Baruch Hu made the Ness, he saved us. Why are we commemorating what Haman HaRasha did? Does it make sense? So let's call it, I don't know, Yom Tov Esther, Chag Mordechai, I don't know. Why should it be called after something that Haman HaRasha did? Why are we commemorating that? And of course the famous question, which different Mepharshim deal with, famously the Avinezer talks about it, why does the name of the Kodesh Baruch not appear clearly in the Megillah? Now there are Rimazim, there's Rosh Tevis, there's Seifei Tevis, Yavoi HaMelech V'Haman HaYoman, all sorts of places, and it's brought in Sfarim that you're supposed to have the Kavon, and HaMelech is a Remin Hashem, but the Feresh it doesn't say, which is very surprising, because we know that one of the simonim of Kosher Yid is Shem Shomayim Shogur B'Thiv. Right, that's how Yitzchak knew it was suspicious of Yaakov and Esav. How do you identify the person? He's mentioning Shem Shomayim, and Yidden speaking together. Our speech is full of Baruch Hashem, Yimitz Hashem. You write a letter, even a letter in business, because we know that since Malok Haloyitz Kavoidoy, every even a business deal has got to do with the Eivishter. So we always start every letter off with Beis Hey, Beis Samach Dalad. You make some mention of Hashem. Lahabdil, even the Goyim, not too long ago, they would start their letters off with by the grace of God in the right. So the concept is rather by Yidden to have a letter, well, it has to have Beis Hey on it. How could it be that one of the Sfarim in Tanakh does not have the 24th Sfarim? Every Sefer mentions Hashem's name many times, and there's no Shein here at all. It doesn't mean, it's very hard to understand why that should be the case. Right? So, the Ibn Ezra actually says, interestingly, he says, you probably heard this, and the Maharal actually, the Maharal actually brings this, he says that Mordechai didn't want to write Hashem's name in the Megillah, because he knew if he would write Hashem's name in the Megillah, then the Goyim, when they copied out and they put it in their chronicles, their history books, they would have changed the name of the Eivishter to the name of the Avodah Zarah. Right? By the way, the God of Light in Persia was Mazda, hence the light bulbs. Right? And Mordechai didn't want to be Shechivel Hashem. They would be attributing the Ness to their Avodah Zarah. So therefore he left it out. So says the Ibn Ezra. But it's very hard to understand that, because if you look in the Gemara Megillah, remember Esther said to the Chachamim, Tisvuni L'Doiros. Yeah, she wanted the Sefer, this is the last Sefer to be incorporated in Tanakh. So Esther wanted she should be in part of Torah Shebichsav, not the Torah Shebalpeh. Many reasons for that. Maybe one of the main ones was women learned Torah Shebichsav and not perhaps Torah Shebalpeh. So she wanted it to be accessible for the women. She should be an inspiration for them. They should learn from her. Right? Obviously, being part of Torah Shebichsav is more Pirusim involved in it. It could have stayed as a Chedek of Torah Shebalpeh. She wanted Kisvuni L'Dorah specifically. So the Chachamim answered her that it would be very dangerous to do that, because this would be creating anti-Semitism. Because all the Goyim will see that we are happy and they're downfall, and they'll make trouble. So Esther responded, it's not a problem anyway, because she explained to them, they've already written it in their history books, right? And therefore there's no trouble, there's no problem at all if you write me down in the Tanakh. So you can see from there, it seems that they wrote it down in their books before Mordechai actually wrote the Megillah. Not like the Ibn Ezra. Which makes it even more perplexing. Why should it be? Right? And also, this contradiction, if you look through the whole story of the Megillah, you've got the continuing all the way through. Megillas Esther, or just Esther. Esther is Lashon Haster Aster, right? So total concealment, a double concealment. A concealment, a helam behevster on the Hester itself. The fact that Hashem is concealed is itself concealed from us. She concealed her identity. The Gemara gives different reasons why she was called Esther. The total helam behevster. But on the other hand, the word Megillah is from the Lashon Giloy, it says in Sforim. So you've got a revelation of the helam behevster. The Giloy and Hester. Look at Purim itself. Well, Purim is a Persian word, as we said, but on the other hand, the greatest simcha ad lo yada. You don't find by any other yontif such a thing. So Purim is full of contradictions. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting yontif, very hard to understand. Perhaps that's the whole point about the story. What? Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Right. So, in fact, this problem continues through. If you look at what happened, you would have imagined what could be a safer, more secure period for the Jewish people in history. The queen is Jewish. The king's advisor to whom he owes his life is also Jewish. Right? So you've got Esther and Mordechai in top positions in the country. How can the Yidden be in danger? The Yidden should have been feeling very, very secure. But yet, this is a time when things went the worst you could possibly imagine. And that doesn't make sense. And if you look afterwards as well, what the reaction of Mordechai and Esther to the danger was also very illogical. You would think if he was the Yoshi B'Shah HaMelech, Mordechai is the king's advisor, the king owes him a big favor. So the first thing, Mordechai hears there's a danger, what should he do? Get a petition, right? Work through diplomacy, you know, you can imagine. And he'll turn up at the king's palace and he'll try and, you know, to talk to him. And Esther likewise. But what does Mordechai do? And what does Esther do? First thing Mordechai does, Vayilbash Sak Va'ifer, goes outside, starts screaming and shouting, makes meetings, makes everyone do teshuva. And what does Esther do? Right? She tells everyone to fast for 3 days. And then she does the most illogical, dangerous thing of all. And she says, I'm also going to fast. I mean, it doesn't make sense, because since she has favor, it says Motzochein Da'ino, right? She has she's beautiful, and Ahasuerus likes her. That Zochein that Esther had, so fasting for 3 days is going to diminish that. She's going to turn up looking like a shmata. Surely, if she wants to be successful, I mean, Ein Somchin Al Anes. In fact, it's interesting, Ein Somchin Al Anes, it says in Shulchan Aruch that the soldiers at the time of battle are not allowed to fast. So the Pirush of Tainis Esther, as someone mentioned last week, interesting. According to some, Tainis Esther, why is it called Tainis Esther? It's because she was the only one fasting. Not like the Kitzah. Everybody else couldn't fast because they were fighting the Amalekim, Haman's cronies, right? But Esther was in the palace, she wasn't fighting, therefore she could fast. The others probably made a neder to fast afterwards. The only one fasting at the time might have been Esther, therefore Tainis Esther. No, that's an interesting point. So Esther's not, she's doing something which doesn't make sense at all. Mordechai likewise. The whole thing this is really very hard to understand. But if you, and the same answer to all the questions, really, because they all understand at the time, Esther, Mordechai, everybody realizes that the sakana is that they're in is only the result. And the cause is Nenu Misudos Hashem Rosh Hashanah Chashverosh. The people in Shushan certainly ate from the Suda, the other people in Shtachavu Latzelem. There was a reason, the reason for that, and they had to tackle the reason first. So if they don't do teshuva, no Hishtaglos is going to make any difference. Anything they do is a waste of time. It's a bit like going to the bank with a check, right, which has no cover, or a check from a different bank. You can't get any money out. It's a waste of time. Right? The Hishtaglos won't help unless you sorted out the main problem. So therefore, Mordechai and Esther, or everyone to do teshuva, and they knew once already the gezeira, the Shamayim is nisbachol, and even the teshuva. In fact, Esther would specify what the teshuva is for. The Alkot Shemoni says that Esther said, "Vetsumo olai v'al toichlu v'al tishtu." What does she mean? She said to them clearly, because you had Hanon for the Suda Achashveyosh and you ate and drank when you shouldn't, so she said, "Al toichlu v'al tishtu." You have to do teshuva for having gone to the Suda Achashveyosh. It's interesting. Right? She said quite clearly what the teshuva was for. So because that was where Esther was coming from, then she knew that whatever she looks like, once she goes to Achashverosh, if min hashamayim, the gezeirah is in this battle, that's fine. It doesn't matter so much. The levush is not so important. And what's the hayra'ah for us? What's in ogeir? How can we not make this the mafreya? because we're living in a world and we see we're in Golus, and things look dismal and dark for Klal Yisrael very often. And sometimes we start to think, we have to make Ishtadlus, we have to do what we can, but you've got to know that the most important thing is to connect up to the Eibishter. The safety of the Yidden is not to do with United Nations or anything else, it's purely and simply if we're connected to Hashem. And then we have a guarantee that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will look after us. This is the Kibsah Achas, when Shivim Ze'evim, only if we're Zoche to the Shemir of Hashem, right? And if not, no Ishtadlus makes any difference. And that's possibly the reason why in the Megillah, the stress is, we're using a Persian word, we don't have a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name mentioned. Esther, Haster, Aster is a double Hester, the Helen, the Hester. And what does that mean? You can't see anything at all. You can't see any Gilui. Kodesh Baruch Hu seems to be totally concealed. But you have to know, even at such a time, that the survival depends purely and simply on Hashem. Now, imagine, you know, if a Yid has a business deal, you know you need the bracha from Hashem to be Matzliach. Suppose you and that's not dependent on nature, so it's not al pi teva. So if a Yid shayim a Shabbos and he learns Torah and does mitzvahs, so you have a bracha from Yevishta. The pasuk says, "Berach Hashem alkecha b'chol asher taaseh." Whatever you do, you will have a bracha. You have to make a hishtadlus. You make a kli for the Yevishta's bracha. The main stress has got to be making the kli. That's what we have to focus on. That's the most important thing. Even listen to this: you have a business deal with a goy. Now the goy is totally controlled by teva. By him, his business failure or success will work al pi teva. You're doing a deal with the goy, so you might think, in this case, well, the business deal success or failure has got to go al pi teva now because I'm working with this goy. But even so, you have got to know that even in this situation of Helen Vehester, and it's so dark and it looks like it's all al pi teva, it's not true. It's not, because in the Onoichi Haster Aster, in the double Helen Vehester, there is Onoichi. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is there, and the Hu Hipil Pur Hu Ha Goyrol. The Pur is the Goyrol. So in the Persian, there is the Lashon HaKodesh as well. So that's a very amazing chizuk for us, that to know that the connection to Hashem, that's the whole story of Purim. The story of Purim is about connecting up to Hashem and not being distracted by the things going on around us. Which takes us on to a very interesting thing. In fact, that's my favorite Devar Torah, if you're allowed to have such a thing. The Megillah starts off, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, Hamoylech, Ehod Vakush, Sheva Vesim Amen, Medino. By the way, 127, I saw yesterday, Tamim in Hogim brings, B'Shem Arizal, is what were the 127 countries. If you look at the end, it says, Vayosim HaMelech Achashverosh Mas, Al Oretz V'Ayom. So Mas is Gematria, Mem Samach is 100, right? And the EA is 27, so there's 100 countries which he controlled on the dry land, and 27 were the islands. So that's interesting, 127, but that's a side point. So the famous question in the first pasuk is, why does it have to repeat Achashverosh's name? He could have said much more quickly, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh HaMoelech Me'odivad Kush. Now the Poshup Shut is obviously, you don't have to be a big time of Chacham to work it out. Evan Ezra says, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, but you don't know which Achashverosh it is. And writes the Evan Ezra, Yitochen, it could well be that there are other kings called Achashverosh, maybe like Paro or many kings. If I tell you in the days of King George, does that tell you anything? I mean, we have quite a few King Georges in this country, right? So in the days of King George, it doesn't tell anything. I'll have to define which King George I mean. So telling you, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, now we have to tell you which one. Achashverosh HaMoelech Me'odivad Kush. Right? That's the Evan Ezra. Who is the Pashtun? That's Rashi. But what does Rashi say? Rashi comes up with a pshat, which is totally removed from anything you might think of. What does Rashi say? Rashi say, why does it repeat the name? It says, Hu Birishoy, as far as I remember, Hu Birishoy, Mitchilosoy Vad Soifoy. Right? Where does Rashi get that from? How does Rashi know that? Maybe the Teshuvah. How do you know? Well, the answer is, right, so the answer on that Rashi, not Tchilos and Basoifon, the beginning and the end are all interconnected. This is amazing. The last pasuk says, Ki Mordechai Yehudi, Mishne Lamelech HaChashverosh, right? Now, question on Mordechai. It seems from the Poshup Shat of the pasuk that went on. That wasn't just a 5-day wonder, that was for several years. It was Mishne Lamelech HaChashverosh. Why did he do that? Especially as he was only Rotzui L'Roiv Echav, and Parashim Memenu Mitzah Sanhedrin, the Chedek of the Sanhedrin, disagreed with Mordechai, they were Parashim him. So why didn't Mordechai go back to Koilel? He was on the Sanhedrin, he could have gone, why didn't he interview Mishnah Melech? So the only explanation for that would have to be, not that he liked the politics in Persia, a very dangerous place to be, right? And all the goyim, the Zoroids, he wanted, of course he wanted to learn Torah all day, he wanted to be Torah Sol Nosoi. But Mordechai knew that Hu Berishai Mitchilos Avad Soifoi. Mordechai felt that there's another, tomorrow there'll be another Gezerah. You don't need a Haman. Achashverosh is quite capable himself of making another Gezerah. and to save the Yidden is bekuch nefesh for Klal Yisrael. So Mordechai is mevater on his own good, right? He couldn't be able to learn the whole time, even though Parashim Imenu makes the Sanhedrin, and he stays in the position of being Mishnah Lamelech, right? That's very interesting. Now, the question now, if you think about what's going on in the Sanhedrin, how can you have a matzav where a mitzvah Sanhedrin are mechulak? Doesn't make sense, because we're saying the klal is achrei rabim. Right, so why can't the Sanhedrin and Mordechai get together, talk it over, and decide what to do? And if the mitzvahs are right, then the roi and Mordechai should go with him, and he should resign from his position of viceroy. And if they're wrong, then they should change their opinion. What sense does it make? There's a lot of interesting point. So one of the answers on that is that the Loshen is an unusual Loshen. Normally you'd find Chol Kualov or Ein Ruach Mitzvahs Chachomim Noichehem Menu, such a Loshen. Parashu is unusual. Parashu seems to imply that they weren't arguing with him. What they were doing, they were Parish. They personally said, Mordechai, we understand what you're doing, but that's a derech for you, it's not a derech for us. It can't be our derech. You have a derech, it's not our derech. Right, to explain that, I have to tell you a story about the Rogachova, which is an amazing story. When the previous Lubavitcher came out of Russia, Bederech Ness, he made a meeting in Riga for the good of the Russian Yidden. And the Rogachova was invited and came to the first meeting, and they wanted to put together a Vaad which would meet regularly to try and help the Yidden who were being persecuted so badly in Russia. And they asked the Rogachova if he would join in the Vaad. They would benefit from his genius and his name, of course. So the Rogachova said, his joining this Vaad depends on the Machloikas Bavli Yushalmi. That's typical Rogachev, right? You won't find any discussion in Valyushan about committees, as far as I know. Right? So what do you mean? So he said, it's got to do with the Mishnah in Brachas. And the Mishnah in Brachas talks about the Hasidim Arishoinim. Remember? So the Mishnah says that the Hasidim Arishoinim, Shoim Shoachas, Umispalim Shoachas, and the Gemara adds on Shoim Shoachas, so all together, each time they davened, it was 3 hours. So the Gemara makes a cheshbon, of course, 9 hours a day. So 9 hours a day davening, so what happened to the Torah and the Parnassah? So says the Bavli says, Mitoisha Chasidim Hoyu, because in the Zechusa, because they were such Chasidim, Torosam Mishtameres. Meaning that, according to Rashi, they didn't forget the Torah. Normally, you need a lot of Chazorah, how would you forget? So they had a special Zechus, special Bracha, the Torah didn't get forgotten. And Parnasosam Misparachas, a Bracha on the Parnasa. Masha'in Kain, Yerushalmi says, interesting. He says, Mitov Shohayu Chasidim, the Lashon is, Brocha Nitenes B'Soyrosom, Brocha Nitno B'Mlachtom. That's the Lashon, Yerushalmi. So there was a Brocha on the Torah as well as the Melacha. What's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, can you have a Brocha in your Limud Torah? In other words, can you steig in learning Torah? Can you stay on the base in the Sanhedrin, the Anshek Nesak Doiva? Or are you just going to not forget? So obviously, to be among the list of the Chachamim, Mordechai goes down, the Gemara says, you remember? In Sefer Ezra and Nechemah. So in the first time he's after four, and the second time Mordechai Bilshan is after five. He went down, Yorad Mechashivu, so it's Chachamim, because he was Bachel Medivrei Torah, and Nichnas Litzorah, and he went down. So the question is, now he doesn't have much time. He's less Choshuv, he doesn't have much time. Can he be Matzliach in his Limud or not? So that's the question. So according to Yerushalmi, yes. According to the Bavli, no. So the Rogachova said, since our loch is like the Bavli, I'm not prepared to forego, I'm not prepared to give up my bracha, my Torah, therefore I can't join the Vat. That was interesting. Now, why should it be the Bavli and Yerushalmi learn that way? So if you look, the Gemara says, Machashakim Hoshivani, a pasuk in Eifa, right? Machashakim Hoshivani, Zutamud Shel Bavil. What does it mean? So the Poshup Shat is that in Golos, in Bavel, they didn't know the Emes. They're in Golos, it was finst, it was dark. It's very, very hard to find something. So much of a person walking into a dark room trying to find an item which he doesn't know where it is. So he has to feel his way around the room. You look at the long shakl of Atariyas and Machwiksim, you can have pages and pages and pages until you finally get to the Maskana, which then might be Teku as well. Right? So that's the Bavli. Yerushalmi is very short. And they go straight to the Emes, because it's lichtig for them. They can see the light. So therefore, according to the Shita of the Bavli, you don't need a Ribui Zaman. You do need a Ribui Zaman, therefore you can't be Matzliach in Limud. According to Yerushalmi, you don't, because you can get to the MS straight away, very quickly. And therefore it's possible, according to Yerushalmi, to have Hatzlacha. So Mordechai, where did he come from? Asher Hogla, Yerushalayim. So Mordechai is living on this level. Aye, he's outside Eretz Yisrael, but never mind, that's where he comes from. That's his Darug of Limud. Asher Hogla, Yerushalayim. So he can have amazing Hatzlacha. in his limud. Therefore, since he can still be steiging and learning, it's possible for him to stay on the Sanhedrin. The miktsas Sanhedrin, what's the roiv echov? Echov means, says the Marshal, chaveiv on the Sanhedrin. He's chaveiv Sanhedrin. Why were they parishing him? Because they were bavlim. Right? So the Sanhedrin came, they went into Golas from Yerushalayim, first of all, and then in the meantime, people joined in from Bavel, or people on a lower level of Limud. So they were parished from him, meaning that, as far as they were concerned, it was impossible for somebody in that situation, as Mishnah Lamelech, to be Matzliach, and to be Steiging his learning, therefore, they can't do it. But he could do it. Mordechai was able to do it. Which raises the question, why did Mordechai go down in his Dargah? And why is it fair to ask someone in the Sanhedrin to be Moshe Nefesh in that way? Let somebody else be a politician. So there's an amazing Medrash, Tom Dvei Lio. Look in Perek Yud Aleph. And the Medrash says that, the Medrash is talking about the terrible story about the Pilegesh Begivon, the Milchama against Shevet Binyamin, in which many thousands of people were killed. And the Medrash talks about, I think, 70,000 people. The number's interesting. The Farshim discuss why that number. It's not the number in the Psukim that we have. So how come so many tens of thousands of people died in the Pilegesh Begivah story? And the Medrash doesn't blame it on the people themselves. It says it was the fault of the Sanhedrin. It's a very, very amazing thing. Quoting the Medrash, he says, the Sanhedrin that Moshe and Yeshua left behind them when they were Niftah, Hoyolahem the Sanhedrin, the first two or three years before the Yidden settled in Eretz Yisrael, at which point they set up Sanhedrin, a Beis Din. Shoftim Tenecha B'chol Shemecha. Every city had its own Beis Din. And that point, the Beis Din becomes the Morad Asra of that place, right? And their job is to guide everybody and to train them, to teach them. But before the first few years had passed, everything was in flux. They didn't have a regular authority. And there was no educational system set up. So at that point, says the Medrash, Hoyolahem the Sanhedrin. They should have lifted up their clothes, the long rabbinic garb. They should have lifted up above their knees. They should have taken shalshalosh or barazel, iron belts. Velachgora, they should have girded themselves with iron belts. They should have gone around in all the places where the Yidden live. The Medrash mentions Rochish, Chevron, Yerushalayim, everywhere the Yidden were living, and to teach the people Derech Eretz. L'chora Derech Eretz doesn't mean Torah. It probably means good behavior, to be law-abiding citizens, getting on with people, and so on. They didn't do that. And everyone said, Shalom Alecha Nafshi, I'll stay in my vineyard, I'll stay in my field. I don't need to do that. And they didn't bother to be matriarch themselves. Because of that, people didn't know how to behave properly. Shevet Binyamin did what they did, and the horrible story happened with the Pilegesh Begivah. And the result was that all these tens of thousands of people died. Says the Medrash, who killed them? The Sanhedrin killed them. So the main role of the Sanhedrin is actually not to be cut off from the people. Their main role is to educate the people. So Mordechai understood that his main task, even if it means that he personally is going to be going down, instead of being after four, he'll be after five, he's gone down in the eyes of the Chachamim, he's no longer Torosso and Nosso. There's a big mile in Torosso and Nosso. Even if you can have a brocha, according to Rishami, in your Torah, but he's no longer Torosso and Nosso, so he's gone down in the eyes of the Chachamim, but still he's prepared to have this Mesiras Nefesh to save Klal Yisrael. Now, the Shita of the Rogachov is interesting. It seems that was only for Yechidei Skula. But the halacha today is, there's no gedda today of Taroso and Noso to be potter from davening. Rashbi didn't have to daven. Those who on his darga, or something similar, they were potter from tefillah totally. They're never mabatal from Talmud Torah for everything. But nowadays, there's no such gedda. A person can't say, I'm learning in yeshiva, in koil, I don't need to daven anymore. There is such a thing, however, with Oisik B'tzorche Tzibur. If somebody is Oisik B'tzorche Tzibur, that person is potter from tefillah. Right? And it's also interesting that Taroso and Noso, to qualify for that, you actually have to be the whole time, 24-7, Taroso and Noso, right? You can't be going to the bank. Once you go to the bank, or do anything else, you're no longer in that category. However, Oisik B'tzorche Tzibur could be somebody who's doing all sorts of interesting things. And they happen to be in a communal meeting, or doing something, L'toivas HaTzibur, and at that time, only they are temporarily Oisik B'tzorche Tzibur, and they're potter from tefillah. That's halach in Shulchan Aruch. It's interesting. If there's a shortage of mezuzahs, no mashal, as far as I know, the sofer doesn't have to daven. He can just write mezuzahs. I know one sofer I met in America. He told me he never goes to shul. He doesn't go to shul on the weekdays. Because he doesn't have to daven anyway. And he says he davens b'chibus, right? I don't know what the sofer do in Manchester, but it's interesting. So the gedda being oisip b'tzorche tzibur, being worrying about the toiva of the tzibur, is a very interesting thing. I was thinking about this concept of the Purim spiel. the Purim Shpil, we are reliving it and we're causing it to happen in the world. In 1970, Toshin Lamed, the Rebbe made a United Nations. It was actually the 25th anniversary of the United Nations. It was Sukkot. And they appointed different people to be a representative, an ambassador from each country. Anybody had any connection with whatever country it was. And they had a special hakafa for those people. And they're special kavana. So with the tzaddikim, they're doing it in a clear way. But with all of us as well, just by reliving the story of the Megillah, then we actually are doing that. Now, in the Megillah itself, we have a lot of things which, if you don't look at it carefully in the right angle, it doesn't really make sense. Going back to the beginning of the Megillah, you've got the story of Vashti. We all know the Midrashim about Vashti and how horrible she was, but the king asked an interesting question. The king didn't want to decide that Vashti was Chayav Nisa. Vashti refused to come in a very insulting way, and the king starts consulting. Now, what would you imagine the king would have said? Anybody who disobeys the king, the rule should be achas doso lahomis. What's the problem? Why does he have to consult anybody? Right? The king's used to killing people. There's no problem. Even al pi Torah, and the Torah's chesed, the din's like that. If somebody is morid b'malchus, is chayav nisa. So kal v'choymer by the goyim, by Achashverosh, certainly that doesn't be chayav nisa. Vashti is openly rebelling against the king. So why doesn't the king just tell him to execute her? And even more interesting, all his advisors don't come up with that svara. What's the only svara that Mamukhan can think of is it's feminism, it's women's rights, and then women will get rebellious, and it's going to create trouble in society, and so on. But how come they're all ignoring that point? Any thoughts? It's interesting, we read the story every year, and there's very posh, basic questions that we just skim through, we don't think about it. So if you look back, you see when the king ordered his servants how to prepare the feast, he did a very unusual thing. It says he told all the people in charge of the Suda, he told them Ein Oines. Ein Oines means there's no coercion. Right? It used to be the case in Persia in those days that they had massive, huge cups of wine, and people had to drink this large cup of a massive quantity of wine, and people sometimes got very ill or they died from it. And Achashverosh did a very interesting thing. He wanted to do lasos kitzon ish v'ish. He wanted to make everybody happy. So there's no coercion. So the question now is, what did he mean? Because once he says ein oines, does that mean that nobody at all can be forced to do anything? Was he applying that to the visitors only? Did it apply to his family? Was an explicit instruction for the king to be different? It wasn't quite so clear. And because it wasn't so clear, therefore Achashverosh, he didn't want to come out with, say, she's Mori ben Malchus. Well, maybe it's not Mori ben Malchus. Or maybe it was. And even Haman, who wanted her out of the way so his daughter could become the queen, even he didn't say that. So it's interesting. The Eivish Dekabayachal gives us also a Suda to go to. But ain't Ines. Right? There's no coercion. We're not forced. We have total Bechira. We choose to partake of the Suda or not. The Suda Torah Mitzvah says that's totally up to us, and it's a shame to make the right choice. The Suda of Achashverosh is the reason why the people in Shushan at least were Chayav Nisa. Gemara says that Rashbi asked his Talmidim, why were they Chayav Nisa? What was the terrible thing they did? So they said, Nana Misudah Soshalos Rosha, right? They had the Hanar from the Suda of Achashverosh. Rashbi answered them, he says, it can't be because there's only people in Shushan. What about the other people? There's Sheva, Besra, and Meir, Medina, 127 provinces, countries. So what was the answer? The answer is Tachavul Atzelim, but that was years before. But it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't refute that. That's still basically, that would have been a good answer. To say that Nenem is Sudasa Shosla Rosha, that would have been a good answer. Only applied in one place. So it's interesting to examine what was so bad about the Suda. Some of the Mepharshim want to say it means that the food wasn't kosher, but that's very hard to say, because it says Lasa is kitzon ish v'ish Mordechai v'homon and ain oines, so they weren't forced to eat not kosher food. Others suggest, and Rifmi mentions that because the Suda was a celebration of what Achashverosh mistakenly thought the end of Shivim Shana and the continued godless of the Jewish people, and he takes out the Kehelim from the Beis Hamikdash and the Big Day Kohen Gog, Big Day Kohen, and so on. So they're celebrating the Chorban, the godless. But again, it's hard to say Chayav Misa for that. And even if the food wasn't kosher, you're not Chayav Misa if you can check the food. And you're not Chayav Nisa for going to the wrong party either. And why should the children be Chayav Nisa? Maybe for Avodah Zorah, by Nidachas you have such a thing, or by the Egel, but certainly not for eating the wrong food, or for going to the wrong party. Right? And the MS is, And it says, it's interesting, Kodesh Baruch Hu always keeps us guarded, l'maylim ha'teva. But that only works if we are saimich on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if we're trusting Him, if we have bitachon. As soon as we turn our backs on the Eibishter and we place our trust in somebody else, like Achashverosh, then what are we doing? So we are cutting ourselves off from Hashem Shmira. Rambam talks about that. Rambam talks about, he says that the person, he says it's all mikra and nikras, it's all just chance events and it just happened to be this way. So Kodesh Baruch Hu opens you up to the chance of nature, and then you're thrown, your divine protection is withdrawn from you. So that's what happened here. The emes is, it wasn't an oynish that this happened. It was a natural result of them turning their backs on Hashem. Going to the Suda, maybe it was justified. Maybe they didn't want to be married by Malchus. Achashverosh invites them, they'll get these embossed invitations, and you must come or else. So what could they do? It's pikuach nefesh. They could go. They could eat kosher food. But nenu, why should they have hanor? They should have gone and be sad. At least inside, maybe they're smiling on the top, but they should have been very, very distraught. They should have been sad. But they had hanor, and they felt, wow, we've arrived. Right? We're invited to the king's royal banquets. We're important people. Achashverosh is our friend. We don't have to be scared anymore. Right? That feeling which they had generated the result that what? The Kodesh Baruch Hu removed his shmir from them. So you think Achashverosh is your friend? So now we'll see what happens, right? You think Achashverosh will protect you? So that's an interesting thing. So it wasn't an oynish, it wasn't a gedda oynish, it's a result of our turning our backs on Hashem. The same thing with business as well, coming back to business, our daily lives. You know, we have to do all sorts of things. You have to make, I said before, Baruch Hashem Lekechem Chol Asher Tase, we have to make our kli, you have to have a parnasa, you have to do what you need to do. But at the end of the day, certainly with Limud HaTorah, you want to brach in Limud HaTorah, you have to have your shemaim to be zoicha to that. And with your business as well. So Shmir Shabbos is school of Hatzlocha in business, obviously, right? And if a person turns his back on that, and he thinks it's his hishtadlos, his efforts, are earning him the living, right? That's not right. So we have to know that everything, this is a story from Purim. Everything which comes is totally a brachah from above. Finish off with an interesting thing. The kids are coming around giving their teachers shlachmonas, and you know, very, very exciting, showing off all their beautiful costumes. And a small child came to me, so he said to me, I've got rachmonas for you. He says, I've got rachmonas for you. He meant to say shlachmonas, right? He says, I've got rachmonas for you. It's very, right, we have, Purim is a time of having rachmonas on everybody. And have rachmonas on ourselves, and then Klal Yisrael to remember, Kati Avdei Achashverosh Anan, we're still in Golos, that's why we're not saying Hallel, one of the reasons we're not saying Hallel on Purim, and in Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zoicha, that Mismach Gula LeGeula, that from the Gula of Purim, we come onto the Gula of Pesach, and Yehofcha Yom Me'ilu Sosun L'Simcha. Shushan Purim, interesting day, if you haven't davened yet, or you davened Mincha, let's finish off with the Dibah Halacha. Normally, if you said Ala Nissim, the rest of the year, it's a Hefsek in Shmoneh Esrei, you need to daven again. So if you said Ala Nissim, and it's not Purim, you have to daven again. If you said, we don't, it's not Yushalayim, we're not Yushalayim here, so today's not Purim for us, so we don't say Ala Nissim. But the Yeved, if you did, then since it's Yemei Nissim, we're still in the period of Nissim, then Ala Nissim is not a Hefsek today. So we should be Zoicha to all the Nissim, and the Klaus, God be Yemei. Say either this is what I'm saying, so my only life I'm sure you're a father.